All right, we are here. We are Galexis and welcome. For your use, whether you're here in person or if you're listening on the sound file, we have established a vortex, a spinning vortex of energy. Now you at the center point of this vortex will probably not feel it. It spins more and more as it moves away from you into your world. But feel free at any time if there's something that we discuss, oh, there's an issue, I would like to release that. Then let yourself release it into the vortex and let it be spun out back into the light from whence it came. Transmuted back into light. Everything originally comes from light. Now, the vortex has another purpose with a different intention, and that is if there's something you want to inform your reality, all you need to do is say, hey, reality, I want to inform you, this is what I choose, this is what I wish to for you to bring me. And you image it, and you send that out through the vortex as well. This vortex will be working throughout this whole session, and we will often, and most often, use it as well in the meditation. So for now, let us turn to our topic of stress. Everyone gets stress. Stress is something that modern contemporary civilization has in abundance. Talk about abundance. You got plenty of opportunities to feel stress. Now, there are two types of stress. There's a positive stress as well as the negative one that most people think of. The positive stress is called eustress. E-U. Eustress. The negative one is actually called distress. Eustress, or positive stress, is that excitement, is that thrill, is that juice-up, charge-up, energizing aspect when you're really motivated by something, when you're stepping into an adventure, when something fantastic is showing up on your doorstep, or when you're anticipating something that's going to be fun, something that's going to be exciting. Excitement is a positive. However, it is also stressful to your body. In order to feel excited, you must mobilize your hormones. You must mobilize your heart, your circulatory system. You must mobilize your brain, your muscles. You must mobilize because you want to move. You are motivated. You want to move towards that. That gives you that excitement. If you notice children on a playground when they are playing a game and they get really excited, the children standing on the sidelines are just standing there and they get excited, they all just start jumping up and down in place. You've noticed that. When you were a child, you did that too. That's the most simple expression of eustress. That excitement that thrills your body, that energizes you, juices you. It's a powerful force. However, it still requires extra work and extra effort on the part of your pituitary, your adrenals, your hypothalamus, to activate your brain and central nervous system and to activate your and stimulate energy-producing hormones into your body so that you can mobilize and move towards that which you desire. Now, if you're excited, even if it's positive excitement, for too long of a stretch, you can wear yourself out. You can get tired. And you'll say, oh my gosh, I'm so worn out. The one who channels us went to a four-day camp, boot camp. She was there when it opened. And she stayed there all the way through to dinner time. And she kept her focus on there. She was excited. She kept writing all sorts of stuff down, taking her notes. That's the way she is. And she was wiped at the end of the day. That's because she was using all this force, all this energy of her pituitary, hypothalamus, and adrenals. She was excited. It was a positive thing. It energized her more than she normally has. Let us put it that way. But even so, even though it was a positive, she was so wiped out. She had to go. She had to sometimes go home early. Just so she could rest her body. So a lot of people don't think of stress in that way. Most of you, when we mention the word stress, are going to think of the word of distress, actually. You don't think of that word, but you think, in a sense, that stress is going to be unpleasant. That stress is not a good space to be in. Because the excitement is a kind of a stimulating energy. The excitement of eustress becomes fear, anxiety, restlessness, insecurity, worry, panic of distress. You see, distress, there is an assumption that you make, that what you are perceiving that's coming your way in the future, or what it is that you are having to deal with right now in the present, is negative. It's hard. It may be painful. It may be burdening. It may be overwhelming. It may be too much for you. It may be something that makes you angry or that upsets you. You're afraid you're going to be upset more. You're afraid you're going more and more is going to be demanded of you, being required of you. More is going to be loaded on you somehow. You may have to be taking on some aspects of other people's care or attention. Maybe draining you. Or you may feel unsupported in your journey of having to deal with some kind of challenge, some kind of crisis. Now, there are simple crises and there are complex crises. But as long as you hold an opinion of these crises, that they're unpleasant, that you don't want to be there, you don't like them, you wish you didn't have to go through this, you're resistant to them. And as soon as you get into that orientation, instead of being eustress, it becomes distress. Now, we're not quibbling about it with you, because indeed, there's certain distresses, certain challenges that it's very difficult to find a positive side to. It's very hard to see how this challenge or this burden or this load or this issue is a positive. It's hard to find it. It just seems like when you're looking at it, it just seems really big and unpleasant. One of the most important things that you can do for yourself is to recognize that your spin, your attitude about stress is such that if you are faced with a challenge, you must watch. Do not let yourself fall into automatic assumption that every negative thing that you perceive that's going on in your life or will be going on or could be going on is the way it's going to be. Recognize that if you could stay conscious, stay consciously aware in your stress, that you can deliberately and consciously change it from distress to at least neutral, if not eustress. We don't expect you to see a tragedy as some kind of wonderful, exciting adventure. that would be really dishonoring your truth. However, it does not necessarily mean that this tragedy or this challenge or this issue that you are facing needs to be assumed to be negative. At least you could assume, all right? We suggest this is what you do. When you wake up, you become aware, I am under stress. I feel stressed because I'm seeing what is going on or what is coming my way is of an unpleasant nature. That at that time, you make a choice as a conscious being to acknowledge that you have the power to choose how you approach your issue, your conflict, your challenge. And when you choose that, basically what we suggest is that you choose that there will be a balancing factor to the negative that you're perceiving. That somehow or another, even though right now at this moment as you look at your stress, it looks all negative. There doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. Let's go worst case scenario, all right? Looks like you're going down a dark hole and there is no hope for you. If you could remember that you are a powerful reality creator and you created this, if you could create this, you can create other things too. If it is your choice to assume that this is a place where you're going to go down a hole, that your life is going to suck from here on out, it's going to be worse and worse and worse, and then I'm going to die a painful death. Now we're exaggerating a little bit. Okay. But what we want to suggest is that if you will recognize that you are never given a challenge that is too much for you, that is not part of the law of the universe. But if you choose to think that it is too much for you, you will not be able to find the benefits of it. You'll not be able to find the magic to get through it with. So assume, as a powerful reality creator, you are going to make a choice. Your choice is that there's going to be something positive I'm going to get out of here, or I'm going to find some kind of magic, some kind of miracle that's going to balance this, that's going to enable me to maneuver, to enable me to keep moving forward. Enable me to take some, if not all, but some of that distress, some of that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that panic. Take some of that and shift it into excitement. Anticipation of something positive. Because as soon as you are willing to choose it, even though at first you're going to say, pshaw, I don't believe that. Look how it is. Nobody could come here and look at my situation and figure my pathway out through this. I can't figure my pathway out. I don't see any way through there. So therefore, how could there possibly be a miraculous path? How possibly could there be enough magic to balance that? This horrible stuff, it's too much. You can't balance it off. I've just got to suffer it. We would suggest this is a learned reaction. Okay, maybe you have a history of it, but you've learned your story well, haven't you? Somebody said, well, what's your history? Oh, my history is this. If you ever want to hear your darkest history, go to a doctor's office, a new doctor, all right, and fill out your health history form, right? Have you ever had nosebleed, dizziness, headaches? Oh, my gosh, yes, I remember at 12 I had these nosebleeds. Oh, my gosh, you could be a hypochondriac by the time you're done with that thing. You're going to remember all the most difficult things of your past. The doctor's not going to ask, when have you been vitally healthy and strong? No. They're going to say, when have you suffered this? And what about your surgeries and operations? Have you had any accidents? Have you? Oh, my gosh. And you can go through your history. You'll find all the worst things. You can come to a doctor. You'll be sitting there. You're already depressed, right? So it's really a lot is attitude. A willingness to say, I am not that victim of my life circumstances. And as soon as I have the opportunity to wake up in my stress, I'm going to make a choice that there is magic coming because I am a conscious light being having a physical body and a physical plane experience. And I am going to choose. It's my choice. Hear me, universe. It is my choice to choose that there be something balancing in the positive for this. When you do that, you shift. You shift your energy. You shift your life. You are not aware of how significant this type of choice is. You think, oh, I hope I can hold on to this choice for 5 minutes. Yeah, right. Now, if you hold on to it for 5 minutes, you can make it again. Oh, yeah, but if all the bad stuff comes back, how are you going to, I'm going to convince myself that it's really real, that I can do something positive. Do not give your power away to external situations. Because, dear ones, the power is inside you. Inside each one of you. You are the one who has chosen and who has created. If you like your choices, fine, stay with them. But if you would like a little shift, a little bit more elegance, a little bit more magic and miracles. Then after that 5 minutes and all the horrors and all the negativity and all the fear starts crowding back in. Oh my God, here it comes again. Instead of going back into victim, say, wait a minute. Didn't I just make a choice? Hello, subconscious mind that wants me to be repetitive and do the same thing over and over and over again and kick my head against the same old wall. Hello, subconscious. I choose this time to shift back into that choice I made 5 minutes ago, that choice of my power. In order to do this, you have to remember, or you have to claim at least, who you are. You are not a victim. You are not a child in overwhelm. You are not an adolescent seeking approval and validation from your world. You are not a young adult, unless you are between the ages of 18 and 28. You are not a young adult looking to skip merrily through all the obstacles, and that you're going to endure these obstacles because somewhere, someday, finally, your ship will come in. Don't postpone your power. It's available for you right now. But you got to remember, you are a light being. You have no idea how bright, how big, how beautiful you are. We have an advantage. We can see a lot of that that you cannot see. Because you are looking only, generally, only at the physical. But on other levels, you have layers of colors and lights. You are veritable light shows. You have incredible amounts of love. You have an incredible amount of courage, for you have decided to come to Earth and be physical, to experience physical plane reality. You are high beings that said, Liz, I'd like to try that experience. It's pretty much like, you know, I'm going to take a vacation. Or I'd like to go on a sabbatical. Where would I like to go on my sabbatical? Would I like to go, you know, to Italy? Would I like to go on my sabbatical to South America? Some beautiful, beautiful tropical paradise? Or some beautiful, serene house by an ocean? in Maine for the summer? In your imagination, you want to have an adventure. And so from the perspective that as souls, you are eternal, you do not die. You have forever, because there's no time. You decided to take a little bit of a vacation, a little trip to Earth, to physical plane manifestation. The majority of souls never come here. It's only the most courageous ones. So don't sell yourself short. You are the intrepid adventurers of souls. You gave yourself some of the toughest and most exciting and sometimes seemingly absurd challenges to come and physical plane, experiencing it, being in a body, and the most challenging aspect of it, temporarily forgetting who you were. To go into unconscious by choice. But part of the trip is that you know when you're done with your adventure, you're ready to go back home, aren't you? When you're at that sabbatical or that vacation, it's like, oh man, this vacation is wonderful, but boy, do I look forward to get back home. I can get back in my cozy chair, lean back and eat my own food. I'm just, yeah. It's the same thing for you as souls. At some point, you have such a strong yearning, such a strong desire to return home, that it begins to fill your earthly life. You begin to fill it here, and it's calling you. And you have been called. Your soul is telling you, come back, come back. It's time. Time to wrap it up. How do you wrap it up? You become more conscious of who you are. You start to remember more and more of who you are. So when you consider, you can think, well, okay, stress. Okay, let me have some nice techniques on how to deal with stress. We would suggest this is the most powerful technique of them all. Is to remember more of who you are. You are God beings. You're going to leave Earth. You're going to leave the material universe. And you're going to go back and you're going to be with your friends and they're going to say, wow, boy, was that an interesting experience. Look at you. Yeah, you've grown. You can be more. You know more of creation because you came to a very creative universe, a universe of free will. It is your choice. That's why we're talking about choice. Choice is the antidote to distress. It is your supreme antidote. As soon as you sit in choice, and remember you have choice, your stress begins to shrink. Your distress begins to get smaller. You begin to expand your love, your optimism, and very importantly, your hope. You start to move, at the worst case scenarios, out of despair into curiosity. Man, I was just despairing. Nothing's going to ever come my way. Nothing's going to save me. Oh. Well, if there's magic and miracles in possibility, what's that going to look like? Where am I going to go with that? When you go into choice, you're a different person than the one facing your distress from a victim perspective. You shift, bang, right out of victim. When you claim your power, when you claim your choice, bang, you connect to the divine within you, even if you don't know how that is being done, nor do you feel very divine at the moment. You see, you've been given this illusion that you need to control things. And that if things are not moving the way you think they ought to move, you've lost control. Well, dear ones, we have to tell you, there is no such thing as control. It's an illusion you made up. You don't control anything anyway. So why worry about it? It's not something that you can get back in control. No, because you never were there. There is no such thing. What you can do is know who you are. Stay in your power. If you have circumstances that seem to be making you feel powerless, take your power back. Get back into choice. Make a choice to look for the magic. Now, with that as your template, there are certain things you can do from moment to moment to assist this conscious shifting process. Because as you shift, even if you shift for only 5 minutes, that 5 minute period, you are shifting your future. It's pivotal. When you make a positive choice for yourself, you are shifting. You may be shifting just a little smidgen. It may seem like just a little degree. But what happens over time when it's just a little degree, that diverging line goes further and further away from the path you were on. So if you're on that path of spiraling down into the pit of horror, and you take a little divergence, or if that pit is just mediocrity, if that pit is sameness of routine, dull life, if that pit is a family member in a health crisis, if that pit is your own health in crisis, your financial health in crisis, somebody else's situation creating a demand on you, a work situation that demands more of you, whatever it is, if you'll stay in choice, your future track, your life track, will shift over just a little bit. And if in 5 minutes all the same old crap returns, don't swing back over. Wait a minute, it's all coming back. It does not mean, dear ones, that you did not make a good choice. What it meant is that you are moving surely on that choice that you made. It's a validation, in a sense, from your reality that you have made that choice. Because you've gone 5 minutes without it feeling as overwhelming. So at that 5 minutes, as that comes back, and for some of you, it's fortunate. It may be several hours. It may be several days. As you learn how to do this, the time periods can become longer and longer before you get your challenge. In that time, you have lifted up to another level. The challenge is that when that stuff comes back, it's all inner, it's emotional, it's mental, even though there's an external situation you're faced with. The challenge for you is really your response, not what is going on in the world. The circumstances is not your challenge. It's your challenge how to respond to it. When you say, wait a minute, I am a light being. I don't understand how this all works, perhaps. And I don't know whether it's really that useful or not. But I'm going to choose that I'm going to look at this from the light being perspective. And I choose that there is going to be some eustress in here too. I choose that there's going to be a balance. I'm looking for the balance, not looking to go back into the dark hole. Don't get addicted to the dark space. It's easy to do. You would not logically think so. But dear ones, you've been trained to look for the problem, to look for the scary stuff, to look at the challenge. Haven't you all learned how to do that pretty well? Can't you already anticipate what could go wrong? Your challenge as light beings is to say, look, my life track is not about wrong, 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 going down the pit. My challenge is to make a choice towards magic and miracles, towards joy and happiness, even if I don't see any logical way to go there. You're waiting for your mind to tell you how to get there, and the mind cannot tell you. The mind has no clue. It's just running around like a crazy idiot saying, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Could anybody figure anything out with that going on? Recognize your mind is not going to be very helpful for you. You're not going to sit down and logically figure it out in the next moment. So knowing this, say to the laugh and love yourself and say, thank you, mind. Just relax. I'll figure it out. Something will happen. It'll be okay. Because I am a light being and I am now making a choice to have some magic and miracles. And the mind is going to go logical on you. It's going to say, no, 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 there isn't any such thing. You're being stupid. You're going to go walk off a cliff. You dumb ass, come back. Come back and try to figure it out. Come back, look at your problem. Come on, deal with your problem. Don't run away from your problem. You've got to look at all the dark stuff so you can avoid the dark stuff. No, if you look at the dark stuff, what do you attract? Law of attraction. Have you ever heard of that? Okay, so don't program your life to be you dealing with one problem after another problem after another problem on the emotional level. On the physical level, you might have to do that, but not on the emotional level. The emotional level is where you have choice. It's your response ability, your ability to respond, your power. So as you choose that positive life track, if it's only for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, no. You are creating a different future. Now, you may not have any clue how to know that. That's okay. At first, it may be only your will that is enabling you to do that. Choice and will. At first, that's what it is. Because you're not in the habit of always making the positive choice. You're not always in the habit of attracting and drawing to you the magic and the miracles. You get a few here and there. Yeah, oh, great, a beautiful fluke. No, don't write it into your story like that. You allowed yourself at some point to receive. Now, some of you have received miracles. At the very worst moment of your life, all of a sudden, everything looked totally bleak, and then all of a sudden, there was a miracle. This is stuff that makes up really good books. Right? People will read about that. Oh, yeah. I want one of those. But the problem is that they get into a program. My program is, I want a really great miracle. But in order to do it, I have to go to death's door. I have to be so miserable. I have to be ready to drop off the edge of the cliff and just die a horrible death. And then God will come rescue me. And so most people don't think to ask for magic and miracles because they don't want to have that extra baggage with it. They don't want to go through more pain with it. So they're thinking, oh, I'd really love a magic and miracles, but my life isn't sucky enough. How sucky does it have to get before you will allow yourself to receive a miracle? So get off that track, okay? The magic and the miracles comes when you choose to be on a life track in which they are natural to you. It takes a while to develop the habit of this. It takes persistence. It takes a little bit of discipline. The discipline that doesn't come from you whipping yourself and making yourself do it. A discipline that comes from your desire to be happy. Underneath it all, you have a desire to be happy because that's the energy of home. That's your soul calling you. You want things to be better. You want your reality to line up the way you want it. Your reality wants to bring you all sorts of success, but it may not line up the way you want it to. But let it line up the way it needs to for you to have success. Your mind wants to be in charge of that, wants to be in control of the way it comes to you. But if you are looking at it that way, you won't get it. Don't get sidetracked by control. Don't get seduced by your mind. Because the path of freedom and joy and happiness and love is a path of the heart. A path of love and valuing yourself. What better way to value and love yourself than to say, hey, I'm going to choose that I'm going to act like a light being here, even though I have no clue what that really means. I'm going to take my power back. I am going to be this empowered person, and I'm going to make a choice. And my choice is I'm not going to focus on the scariest of the scary. I'm not going to focus on the dark stuff. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to really work hard to dismantle it and get the mind in here. We're going to take it all apart. I'm going to make a choice that magic and miracles will come my way. That gifts from my reality will show up that will enable me to walk in the direction of love and happiness. I'm going to choose that. I choose it as a light being. I am willing to be happy. And if it lasts for 5 minutes, by golly, you've already shifted to a positive life track. Every time you do this, you keep shifting life track. Your future keeps shifting. And as we said before, when you make a 1 or 2 degree shift, down the line in the future, way out there in the future, it's way, way far away from the dark track. It's a beautiful, big, light future. It's huge. It's bright. And the dark track moves away because your focus is now towards the light, towards the light. Now, there are certain physical factors that support this process. One is, and these are things that you hear about when people talk about dealing with stress. One is to breathe. When you're under stress, you have a tendency to hold your breath. And then when you finally say, oh my gosh, I got to breathe. Oh gosh, all right. I should breathe deep. No. You should breathe very easy and very gentle. Now, a lot of people, when they practice breathing, they do yogic breathings. These are specific breathings for particular states of being. If that works for you, great. But sometimes there are situations where it doesn't really work for you all of a sudden to be doing fire breath in the middle of the supermarket or the seminar or whatever. It makes a little bit of noise. There are people, and some, all everybody sitting there, somebody's going, they're going, what? What the heck's going on back there? Are you having a heart attack or what? Do we need to call 911? Recognize that the breath you want can be deep, a belly breath, but it needs to be silent. That's the best breath. For everyday work. That's the breath that is the relaxation response, where you gently bring it in first in the belly, then it expands the chest. You do not hold. When it comes to the top, you just let it go. There might be a little sound in the exhale, because the exhale might be, and just let yourself go kind of limp. Let your lungs just kind of go limp. And then it starts at the bottom. The breath comes back up. If you do this right before you eat your food, your digestion is so much better. Because when your system is more relaxed, it can go into balance. Two, another way of dealing with stress that's very common is to get exercise or do some kind of stretching or do something in which you move energy through the body. We agree. If you are living a life in which you are in one or two positions all the time, you need to change position. Your body needs some variety. It goes nuts if you're sitting all day, or if you're lying down all day, or if all you do is sit and walk, sit and walk, sit and walk. Body needs something else, something to move out of that kind of restricted. It's like being in a harness kind of state of being. So give yourself some exercise, not repetitive, but with movement. Just do something in a different way. Do some kind of different type of activity in your off time. Something that uses different muscles. Swim, if you can. That uses phenomenal differently muscles. That just really gets you really tuned up all over the body. Fantastic type of thing. Or if you find a certain structure really useful, then yes, do some yoga, do some energy work, do some martial arts, do something. Get the energy moving through your body, getting it to move through and out. Three. The other way of dealing with stress, it's a bit longer, more roundabout, but more thorough. And that is to go into your depth of your emotional body and to heal the inner child, to heal the insecure self that's in there, to heal the angry self that's in there. Most distress with victim consciousness attached and panic will come from child space. The child is the most helpless, hopeless. The child is the most powerless. The child is the weakest of all your internal personalities. The child self is the one that freaks out at the drop of a hat. The child self is the one that's, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because when you were a child, except for some children who had parents who needed them to grow up really extra fast, but for most children, they didn't know how to take care of things. They couldn't run a life, an adult life. They couldn't work. They couldn't earn money. They couldn't drive a car. And you couldn't when you were a kid. You had to wing it. It was those big adults that seemed to have all the power who could determine what you did with your life. You did not have it yourself. So that personality is still inside you. And when you heal the inner child, you're healing yourself. Now, that means to work with releasing fear, to work with releasing anger. Those are the two that will generally stick you and keep you stressed up the wazoo. Learn to take your power back. Learn to give your child self a happy, secure, and safe life. Because a child self does not feel safe. As soon as you don't feel safe, a good part of you that determines your emotional body, your child self, feels unsafe, your adrenals, your hypothalamus, your pituitary are going to get hit. You can even be totally stressed out in distress without any external circumstances that appear to be challenging whatsoever. So if you think, oh, my distress is this challenging situation, as soon as I'm through fixing this situation, everything's going to be fine. Surprise. The fine comes from within. As soon as you finish that challenging situation, if you're not fine within, hey, universe says, great. You want another challenging situation? Here. We'll give you some more. So deliberately, proactively. And this also makes you feel empowered because you're doing something when you're under distress. And that is to do a fear release. Now, we've given the whole technique about fear release in our Love and Healing event on fear. And so we would suggest, if you don't have a technique on fear release, we'd recommend that you listen to that and you get the whole technique and you get the meditative experience so that you can go through it and practice it. The same with anger. We have one on releasing anger. And thirdly, on shame. Shame is a feeling that somehow or another, you're just screwed. You're just God's mistake. You're flawed. You just can't ever figure it out. Pathetic, poor you. If you have any of that type of insecurity, any of that type of low self-esteem, any of that type of self-dislike or self-hatred even, bubbling around, percolating around anywhere in your psyche, you could really use a shame release. Because, frankly, shame is not yours. You were given it. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You are a light being. You're divine by your very nature. Shame was just a dark game to play. And you thought it explained things. Explained why you weren't happy. It's because there's something wrong with you. Explained why you couldn't have great relationships or you couldn't have, you know, make a lot of money. It's because you were just too stupid because there's something wrong with you. You're just inadequate. Incompetent. Just can't ever figure these things out, you poor, stupid, blankety blank. You need a shame release when you have that type of stuff. When you judge yourself, criticize yourself, try to fix yourself, kick yourself in the butt. Come on, I've got to be better because I just never seem to, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Kick, 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 kick. You need to release the shame that's underneath there because as soon as you have shame, or as long as you have shame, let's say it that way, you're going to beat yourself. You're going to punish yourself. You're going to criticize yourself and you're going to be stuck with a slave driver. Who, if any of you have attended any of our previous events, know we have talked at length about this internal slave driver, the one who tells you continuously, you are not enough, you haven't done enough, you aren't good enough, you aren't loving enough, you aren't caring enough, you're not smart enough, you're not young enough, you're not whatever enough. There's something that you're not enough of. And that's drawing on your shame to motivate you. To make you feel guilty, to make you feel scared. Stop doing all that trip to yourself. When you can forgive yourself on the spot and it is authentic, it means that you have explored your fear, your anger, and your shame. And you have judged yourself as okay. Instead of as inadequate. You have evaluated yourself as being worthwhile. You know that you are worth saving. You are worth loving. You are worth something. And your life is worth living. And when you make that choice, you're in your power. What kind of light future do you think you're going to have without that? And that's when you face distress, you can make a choice. And you can laugh at how you got trapped. Oh gosh, I made my choice, and half an hour later I woke up realizing, oh my gosh, I lost it again, and I'm lost in the darkness again. Don't judge yourself. Do not kick yourself about that. Do not judge yourself. Oh no. Damn it. I forgot. I'm so stupid. I never seem to remember. Oh, damn it. I lost all this time suffering with all this stuff. As soon as you go there, you're going to get more stuff. That's lining you up with a self-punishing reality. Don't do that to yourself. You are worth so much more. You're beautiful beings. And home is calling you. Union with the divine, with your greater essence, with the ecstasy and the bliss of the divine you, is calling you home, saying, remember who you are. It's time to go back. It's time to end this glorious adventure and to end it triumphantly as the light being that you are. That's what this lifetime is about. Your opportunity. Now don't let your slave driver say, oh, the way you're living your life, you're never going to have that opportunity. You're never going to make anything out of it. You're not going to go home this lifetime. You are stuck, poor baby. You're really going to, you have to go through all of this stuff. It's your karma. If you decide to be who you are, your karma dissolves. Seriously. When you choose your own future life track, karma is no longer of any consequence, because you are choosing different actions and different results. The law of karma is transcendent. When you know who you are, you no longer have to be a victim of karma. Don't explain any of your suffering. Oh, it must be karma. I'm in this relationship and it's really horrible. It's probably karmic. I probably messed my mate up, you know, terribly. And so now they're getting even on me. And I deserve it. I should feel guilty. It's probably my karma. I'm paying it off. No, do not pay off any more karma. Stop. Choose. Forgive yourself for having bought into all of that stuff. Karma does work if you're not conscious. If you're not in your power, it will work. But if you are in your power and you can forgive yourself and start laughing about the absolute zoo you live in. Every conceivable eccentric human being and every little oddity that is part of you and all the crazy stuff that happens. When you start getting a sense of humor about it, hey, you know, you made it to another level, and guess what? You have a future filled with laughter. You're creating a future. When you can laugh, you can dispel distress. When you can forgive, you dispel distress. When you, in your imagination, do a visualization where you visualize someone you're angry at and really let them have it and blow them up and just really let them go and forgive them, you release and dispel distress. And you take it out of your future. Because if you're holding on anger about anybody or anything, or you are holding on to fears and doubts, what your future is going to do is to bring you the opportunity to bring those to your conscious awareness. Is that fun? To get the opportunities to feel fear, doubt, anger? Not really. Why not? Proactively go in there, clear out your past, change your story. We even have a Love and Healing, that event on the new story. Teaches you to move through your story, how to clear out an old story, create a new one. You got everything you need inside here, inside yourself. Your response. It's not your actions in the physical that is applied according to the logic of your mind, step by step, mind wants to go, but by the response that you choose and the action that you take in that response emotionally that counts. When you can do that, you can change fear into excitement, distress into eustress. When you get out the anger, you can have your passion back, your power and your passion. And when you get out self-doubt and shame, you step into the magician. You become a magical person. It is your choice. So stress, whatever kind it is, distress or eustress, is in your hands, in your choice, is up to you. Isn't it wonderful knowing you have the power?